The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Football on Off the Ball.
And you asked me why Brentford are doing so well. Because structurally, he's the nucleus of a really strong, young, fit, hungry team who probably all want to move to Manchester United. But they've got to do it for him first.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
And happy Friday. This is Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock tonight. And a little bit of a change of schedule coming your way this evening. We were due to have Shelburne versus Shamrock Rovers in the first game of Shamrock Rovers' season at Talca Park this evening. But it turns out they're going to have to wait another week to get their League of Ireland Premier Division defence underway. That Talca Park has seen a waterlogged pitch this morning, so that game is off. And therefore, we are going to bring you a whole pile of other good stuff between now and 10 o'clock. We have a crappy quiz coming your way this evening. We're going to have Rishdard Cooper in studio with us very shortly as well to deliver an array of some of his brilliant impressions and talk about life lately. He's on tour very, very soon. And also, we'll be bringing you the sounds of our roadshow up at Ulster Hall on Wednesday night. We were in Belfast with Andrew Trimble and Stephen Ferris and Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quillen and Fiona Hayes. So the four lads obviously were together for the 2007 World Cup, which was a complete disaster, and most of them were there for 2011 as well, 4 years later, which I guess kind of ended in a little bit of a disaster, but at least there was always Eden Park and Stephen Ferris picking up Will Genia. So there's loads of brilliant stories from Bordeaux to Auckland and everything in between. So that's going to come up between 8 and 9 tonight. Our number is 087-9180-180. Mick McCarthy is here in studio. Mick, how are you doing?
Good evening, Owen.
I hope everybody's keeping safe as well this evening, by the way. A football game or two being called off isn't the end of the world, but Jesus, when we first started talking about this rain 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think we were in quite a jovial spirits about this, about, you know, Dodder Rhino being submerged. Little did we know that it would simply not stop raining, possibly until Paddy's Day. Who knows how long this is going to last?
I think we're heading from rain to ice this weekend, from what I heard on. So frying pan into the fire. But yeah. Do you know what? I'll take anything for the rain to stop.
I know.
I think there's probably people listening to us in the west and south of the country who are going to go, it's not that bad. I feel like it's the first time ever that like Dublin has just got, without a doubt, the worst of it all. It's just been literally non-stop raining for 4 or 5 weeks at this stage.
It's very
depressing.
Very different, yes. I'd say there's a few people in other parts of the country, as you say, who have gone through this much more frequently. As I always say, I always thought that Dublin was the drier part of the country. That has been my experience, but not over the last month or so. So the Dublin matches in the League of Ireland obviously falling victim to that weather. Hopefully, come round three, we will be able to follow the schedule and bring you the games as we expect them. So, and there'll also be
Derry is going ahead tonight, and of course,
yeah.
But the look of the draw, our schedule is that we're in Derry next week.
Okay, so that is bad news for everybody in Derry. make your preparations for massive floods in Derry next week. Cameron Hill is going to be here throughout the show to keep you up to speed on what is happening in the games that are going ahead this evening in the League of Ireland as well. So, as I say, we'll get into Rishdard very shortly here after the break, but a couple of things we just want to touch on. Mick, you weren't in with us yesterday evening, but what was it, an hour and a half before we went on air yesterday evening, the draw had been completed for the UEFA Nations League, Ireland versus Israel. Those couple of fixtures obviously have been probably beyond a sports story, this story over the last 24 hours and the relative reactions to it. Myself, Owen Doyle, were talking about it last night here with Cameron on the news round. A clip went up around it. Owen Doyle is really strong on, you know, the possibility of a boycott, what Ireland should do around a fixture with Israel. And it just opened up X earlier on today, and I see that we've now entered the Glinnerverse.
Oh no.
Which is not something I've got any experience of, but Graham Linehan, who I went onto his account, I was like, I've got this guy muted for a multitude of different reasons.
Yeah, it's wild to not see him in the tweets.
It's the first time I think my face anyway, has appeared on his feed. So I'll get up the tweet there in just a moment. Just say, I don't want to do an injustice to what he's actually saying. I want to read it out verbatim. He said, look, these proud Irishmen discussing whether Jews should be allowed to play football in the country. Doesn't it just swell the heart?
Mm-hmm.
So we're being accused of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, of course, because I really do think now that Graham Lenehan, a smarter man as he is definitely considering your opposition to Israel's genocide in Gaza as being anti-Jewish people being allowed to play football in our country. He definitely wouldn't conflate those two things in any kind of disingenuous way, I would say. I think he's definitely looking at that and seeing outright anti-Semitism, and in no way is he actually listening or understanding the nuance of the point. So how does it feel to be anti-Semitic, Joe?
Wow, that's the worst thing that you could possibly say on this show.
Well, what did I say there? Because I don't know whether I went to one of the two or so presenters. It could have been either.
I don't know. It's just amusing, kind of seeing it pop up. It's like, this is far from the most important thing that kind of comes out of this, but it does also kind of show where X is at the moment. Mm. Whenever we would have a clip that would go ballistic in a sort of a non-sports world where people are trying to be unbelievably divisive on certain subjects. Mm. You just
like
would have heard,
you're being like a soy boy over here, like, you know, with your anti-genocide agenda.
That's like, when that would happen 5 to 10 years ago, you just know that your phone and it would just be going off all weekend.
Oh yeah, like, everyone would see it. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, you would just be afraid of hopping onto X, because even if you weren't tagged in the initial tweet, you'd be sure that somebody would hop on and make sure that you were tagged in it. Mm. And then your name is kind of dragged through for the week. So that's one thing I have noticed. It's like, Ben sent us in the tweet earlier, and if he didn't just like literally send us that on Teams,
that's the only time you
probably wouldn't
about
have
it.
Actually copped it that it happened. So that's just one of the small details that's emerged since yesterday.
How do we feel about Graham Lenehan? Obviously produced, along with others, some of the best art in Irish history, which remains, despite the fact that he is no longer a person of interest, I would say, for me anyway. But at the same time, is like, you know, God, Andrew Trimble made a Father Ted joke that we'll probably hear later on, and it was like, it's so culturally relevant.
Yeah.
Even all these years later. I went to see Dylan Moran last week. Black Books is very front of mind when I'm watching one of Ireland's best ever comedians on stage. You know, the IT crowd, whatever it might be. That is some of, you know, these stand the test of time in a way that the creator doesn't.
Mm.
It's sort of strange. Like, does the art override the artist?
I think
you want to take, say, like, I am 100% going to be reading Harry Potter with my kids.
Yes.
It doesn't mean I support J.K. Rowling.
No. Like, I think there's a nice little blurred line there where you can kind of separate it a little bit. Like, if, say, for example, if it was Graham Lenehan doing stand-up in Vicar Street last week, I dare say you wouldn't have got those tickets.
No. I don't think so, no.
So, like, if it's a new sort of proactive behaviour on your part to engage with this artist in that very direct way, then I think that's probably where the line is drawn for a lot of people. I think a lot of people would give other individuals lots of credit, and they can see the fact that he's literally not on screen. Like, if he was, like, the main actor, character in Father Ted, for example. I know he is on screen, but if he was the main, if he was Father Ted, I think people would have a lot more problems with that. If you are anti-Graham Lennon, of course, not everybody is.
No, of course not. And look, I mean, and I actually was thinking that during I said it, like, we're obviously giving our personal opinions here, and that's based on a load of factors, but not least, like, you know, he's shown what he thinks of us, so why shan't we do it back?
Yeah.
That is fine. But like, outside of that, I think it's even a wider conversation than, you know, I think, like, fair enough, if the art is this person's manifesto, then perhaps you can't separate them from the other. But if it is just a piece of, you know, comedy, as Father Ted is, then does it really matter who wrote it for it to be celebrated as, you know, possibly one of our greatest ever pieces of art?
Not for me. That doesn't come into my mind.
I wonder do other people disagree? I think I'd say people probably do. I think people are definitely struggling with the Harry Potter thing, for example. You know, like, as in, like, is this something that is being... And I think, see, personally, I think that's an overreaction. I think that, like, you know, if you enjoyed Harry Potter, if it was an important part of your life, as it is for a lot of people, you know, people took that sort of thing very seriously there at one point in time. Why would you take that away from yourself because of the, frankly, irrelevant opinion of the person who wrote the books?
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Maybe you don't want to feed her coffers. Like, you know what I mean? There's loads of different answers to it, but I just don't think that's a... I think separating art and artists is not the worst thing in the world. Which leads us to, should we be separating sport and politics?
Well, there you go. Lovely little segue. It's amazing how we've spent no time on defending me from my anti-Semitism charges that have been leveled at me. Which just does underline how, again, for a very... intelligent man, I just can't believe that argument is still being thrown out there. Like, surely everybody who's replying to him and supporting him,
I have to say,
realizes this is just such a futile thing to be thrown out.
I think
the
anti-Semitism is so disingenuous. I really do. That's why I find it hard to engage with. If we want to defend the difference between anti-Semitism and anti-genocide, or a state being a bad actor rather than the ethnicity of the people within the state, right? If we actually have to go and defend that. Like, I think it's an easy argument, but I also think it's one that should be had on the level. And I don't think that the people accusing you of anti-Semitism or anybody else are actually doing it in an honest way. So why bother?
Yeah. We've probably spent enough time talking about Mr. Lennon. But thank you for getting in touch, everybody who had any feedback to our pieces last week. You can get us on social media at Off The Ball. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp message as well. In part two of this hour, Rishtar Cooper is going to join us. A good bit of rugby chat to be had with Rishtar. He's on tour over the next couple of months. I know, Mick, you're off to see him.
I am, actually. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Not for a while, though. I think I'm on the back end of the tour, but I'm really looking forward to it. I used to go and see Apre match all the time. Like, I saw them more than was, like, healthy. There was a time when I was going to see them once a month, like, you know, in the National Stadium, whatever. So it's a while since I've kind of experienced that. So I'm looking forward to seeing Rishtar on stage.
Yeah, it really is completely and utterly unique Apre match, the more you think of it. Like, is it unique and did it stand on the shoulder of these wild panels that we had on RTE, or could it have cultivated something proper without that?
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because the lads were so talented and their writing was so good, but, like, the reason we all paid attention at the start was because it was them aping these very apeable characters. when you were watching, like, France 98. So, but then again, you think of, like, how funny they were when they went off to do, like, David O'Leary's or Mick McCarthy's and things like that as well, which they did early on as well. It wasn't just always the panel. The three Joe Duffys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, things like that were just... all three of them had a great Jerry Ryan as well, that they would play off against each other, talking to each other, you know. So I think we would have... It's just whether the three of them would have done it together if the panel didn't exist.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe potentially not. You talk about being apeable. I think...
Is that a good word?
Yeah, well, I think potentially I'm quite apeable, and I might be talking to myself a little bit later on this hour as well. I think maybe Jerry's going to get a bit of a doing as well off Rishtar a little later.
Jerry's hair will finally get a mention on Off The Ball after
it's
been banned for so long.
Rishtar is addressing it head on a little later. When it comes to tomorrow afternoon, how are you feeling about this thing? It feels that we've spoken so much about the threat of Italy this week and how bad Ireland are that surely it can't happen.
I'm feeling curious. Not all that nervous. Like,
there's something like a Facebook status from 2009.
Do you not, though, think that... Sorry, like, do I want Irish rugby to be successful? Absolutely. But I think there's something, like, we are kind of like giants of the game in relative terms, obviously, versus the actual giants. Fair enough, we'll always be second tier. But against Italy, we are. I find it hard to, like, be absolutely fearful of an underdog win. I think it would be good for the game if Italy come to the Aviva Stadium and compete and don't lose by 50 points. And if they do, it all kind of gives us some more talk about this transition and where we're going, and maybe it kicks it on a little bit. I don't know if it's necessarily the worst thing in the world that could happen. So it's like, I don't think Ireland will lose. I don't want Ireland to lose. But if they do, maybe it's not the end of the world.
It was a very scratchy win last year in Rome. I think that's also informing a lot of people I know, granted, it's away from home. It was at the end of the Six Nations. But that allied to Italy's performance last weekend, I think.
This is probably the best Italy team that we've had in the Six Nations probably ever on a consistent basis. Is that they're a hard out for anybody at the moment. And nobody was surprised that they beat Scotland last week. I don't think, anyway. The paper seemed to be. The anger towards Gregor Townsend and all that in the British press maybe suggests that they were surprised. But I don't think anybody who watched the game really thought that Scotland were just going to go and take care of business in Rome without a worry.
Mm.
So it's a real game. It should be quite exciting, actually. And that's another thing. I always thought, like, sometimes when Italy are at their worst, it's like almost a wasted weekend in the Six Nations schedule. It really doesn't feel like that this week, does it? Like, you know.
Just on that, like, to use that word again, disingenuous, I found that interesting that that was one of the words that John Fogarty used to describe the coverage around the Ireland team at the moment being past their peak. He thinks it is disingenuous, which, I mean, absolutely entitled to his opinion. I just wonder if that properly nails it. I think there is genuine worry out there as opposed to anybody.
I think you could argue it's inaccurate. I don't think that it's disingenuous. I don't think people are coming from this sort of, like, I don't think it's a sort of a tabloid ramp up or anything like that on the team, build them up to bring them down. I think there's a fear there that things are not ticking in the right direction at the moment. And then what happens then? Like, is this part of a rebuild that's going? Because I think everybody's okay with a lull. But if anybody who listened to last night's show and listened to Brian in particular and backed up by the lads when they had that analysis of basically what is going wrong with Irish rugby, both on the pitch and off the pitch, you could not say that is anything but genuine concern about our direction at the moment.
Yeah, to say we're on the decline is a bit disingenuous, is what he was saying. Which, to be fair, if that's the honestly held belief, then that would suggest that they're so far removed from the idea of the decline happening, which maybe is an idea that they're going to spark into life. Because you're kind of looking for language as well. Because it feels that in and around 2021, there was a bit of a disconnect between the performances on the pitch and the words that were coming out of camp. Like, the camp was pretty positive.
Mm.
And early in that Six Nations, you're like, come on, guys. Like, you need to be real here. This is not going well. This team is on the slide. And then that game against England happens and you're like, oh, hold on a minute. Maybe actually every bit of positivity that's been coming out was coming out for a reason.
Yeah.
So you actually are looking, that's why you kind of look at every single word that these people are saying right now, that there might just be a sign that the corner is turned before we actually see it on the pitch.
Yeah, and I think everybody's excited about seeing some fresh faces as well, which we always are, but I think, you know, usually for an Italy game, it's like, oh, it's a lot of changes. People are only coming in for the Italy game. I think people are coming in because we need fresh blood in the team this time, as opposed to making a couple of changes because we have to play 5 games in 6 weeks.
So it's going to be 6 debutants in this year's Six Nations.
Yeah.
Sorry, 7 in this year's Six Nations come the end of tomorrow night's game, because the dog was going to come off the bench and play. Like, if you told me 2 weeks ago that there's going to be 7 debutants after 2 games in the Six Nations, even knowing all the injury issues that Ireland had, I would have been quite surprised with that.
Yeah, no, it's a huge turnaround. But, like, again, it just needs to happen. It's funny, I was looking to spoil the quiz a little bit. I had to look back on all of Ireland's games since Andy Farrell took over, and I was really surprised at, say, like, how late a lot of players came in that were involved in the World Cup. So we're talking like November internationals the year before, like, you know, is when people were kind of making their debuts and stuff. So there is plenty of time for Irish players to kind of come in and be blooded and play in advance of the World Cup. But it does feel like, you know, if we're going nowhere, if we've already lost to France, this Six Nations should be about building. And I've never been one to throw it away. I'm not in the kind of throw it away, it's all about World Cups every 4 years. But right now, why not? Because we're getting old.
Okay, so loads still to come on tonight's Off the Ball. After the break, I'm going to be chatting to Eddie O'Sullivan, to Keith Andrews, to Joe Schmidt, to Rob Kearney, to Ger Gilroy, and to myself. That's right, Richard Cooper of Apre Match Fame is with us in studio.
Football on Off the Ball.
And you asked me why Brentford are doing so well. Because structurally, he's the nucleus of a really strong, young, fit, hungry team who probably all want to move to Manchester United, but they've got to do it for him first.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.